Today we celebrate exactly 44 years ago that Srila Prabhupada, he boarded the Jaladuta. Actually on August 13th it happened. Actually I don't realize why we don't celebrate it today. I had that question. I don't know if anyone can answer that. Is it a different calendar? Yeah, then it changes. Yeah, okay. Then the question is answered.
It's in relation to the Ekadasi.
Okay, good. So, before we will speak on Srila Prabhupada boarding the Jaladuta and starting his journey to the West, I speak a little bit of the philosophy of the fact that we are suffering in the material world, because that's the whole point why Srila Prabhupada came. Krishna has his plan. The living entity turned his back towards Krishna and he came to the material world in the illusion that he can be the enjoyer, and this doesn't really work. Dukhalyam Shashvatam. This world is temporary and we'll have to suffer. And that is very painful, and it lasts quite for some time, millions of lifetimes. And we have to go through the same things, chewing the chewed. Birth, old age, disease, death, struggle for existence, yad padam, yad pipadam, by every step there is danger. Any moment, the most horrible thing could happen to us, and these things happen. Things happen to the living entity in the material world. Yes, very hard work, ultimately exhaustion, frustration, and fear. This world is kunta. It's a world of anxiety, of fear, and the living entity is very happy with Krishna in the spiritual world, but he misuses his independence, and therefore he comes to the material world. He is given a chance to try to be happy independently from the Lord, and ultimately to realize that that is not possible, and then to go back home to Godhead again, return back home after a long, long journey. So Krishna has his plan. He tries over and over again to come to the material world. Yeah, yesterday we quoted that verse also. And whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. Then, out of compassion, Krishna does that. He reveals the Vedic literatures to enlighten the living entities. And as Vyasadev, he knows, in Kali Yuga, the living entity is even more unfortunate. It's very hard to get out of samsara, the repetition of birth and death, in Kali Yuga. So I have to divide the Veda into four, and I have to really write this wonderful creme de la creme, the Bhagavatam. And because this Bhagavatam, this will shed light on the people who are in darkness, in this age of darkness. And so, yes. And then he comes as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he experiences the ecstasy of Radharani, and who always is full of compassion for the fallen souls. And Radharani is always in the mood to bring others to Krishna. Look, Krishna, there, that devotee. Look how wonderful he is. Please give him your mercy. She is like that. So this is the quality of a very, very most advanced devotee. He is very happy with Krishna, but he wants others to be also with Krishna. And he is para dukha dukhi, which means the very advanced devotee, the pure devotee, he is para para dukkha dukkhi, para dukkha dukkhi, which means this devotee cannot tolerate the suffering of others. So Krishna, he comes himself and plays the role of that devotee, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he has this plan that he wants to liberate everyone, every single soul in the universe, and bring them all back to Godhead. And many great devotees have incarnated, contemporaries of Lord Chaitanya, and after that also, like the six Goswamis, and like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Prabhupada, they all have the same desire as Krishna, that all the living entities should come back. And they have been working on a mission. They have a dream, you know. And so then, on a very auspicious day, Krishna's plan started to accelerate, you know, because Srila Prabhupada took birth. And when he took birth, then a pandit came and he said, yes, this person, he will open 108 temples and he will be a great spiritual leader. So right from the beginning, it was like a mystery, what is this kind of prediction? And but later, in 1922, Srila Prabhupada, in 1922, he met for the first time his spiritual master. And he was a young boy, Srila Prabhupada, he was a young man. I think he wasn't even married yet. And he was a follower of Mahatma Gandhi, he was a nationalist, Mahatma Gandhi, and Srila Prabhupada was an idealist. Liberate India from the Britishers, and this way India can flourish and be wonderful Vedic.
Prabhupada got married in 1918.
18, okay, so that was later. So he met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta then, and that was the first time. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati immediately told Srila Prabhupada, you are a very intelligent young man, and you are educated, so you should preach Krishna consciousness in the English language. Srila Prabhupada became, it's interesting, you know, how these years are there. It's always like 1922, he met Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, 1933, he became initiated in Allahabad. 1944, he started Back to Godhead magazine. And then there are some other important dates, I will mention them later. 1966, he established ISKCON. 1977, he passed away. So there, always these are very special numbers. And so the Vaishnava is very merciful. Srila Prabhupada, Krishna had his plan. It is clear that Srila Prabhupada is like a personification of the mercy of Krishna. He's a transparent via media. He's the ambassador of the spiritual world. He is the general of the army of Lord Chaitanya's movement of love, you know, the Senapati, like that. Everything is clear. After being in ISKCON for many years, everyone realizes it, because so many admirers of Srila Prabhupada, followers of Srila Prabhupada, they glorify Srila Prabhupada every day. Every year there is a Vyasa Puja book full of so much realization about Srila Prabhupada and his. He is like an ocean of auspicious qualities. We sing it every day in Guru Puja. puja, an ocean of auspicious qualities. So Krishna is Karuna Sindhu. Hey Krishna, Karuna Sindhu. He is an ocean of mercy. But the spiritual masters, Sri Guru Karuna Sindhu, he is also an ocean of mercy. There is in one sense no difference. And therefore we say every morning we sing in the Guru Ashtaka prayers, Sakshadari Vena Samasta Shastra Uttastata Bhavyata Eva Sapir Kintu Praporya Priya Eva Tasya Vande Guru Sri Charanavinda. The spiritual master is to be honored as much as the Supreme Lord, because he is the most confidential servitor of the Lord. This is acknowledged in all the revealed scriptures and followed by all authorities. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of such a spiritual master. Yes, and this Srila Prabhupada, mercy means that he is ready to undergo blood, sweat and tears, a hardship. He calls it the labor of love. And work very hard, go through so much pain and austerities to free the living, suffering living entities. And there's a wonderful verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Titikshava kurunika surita sarvatana ajata shutrava shanta sarava sarubhushanaha. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. Wonderful verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 25, Text 21. And so, then it happened that on his 70th birthday, just a few days before his 70th birthday, he almost was 70, just a few days before, then he mounted the cargo ship Jaladuta, and the journey would take 35 days, and the journey was, of course, on the Arabian Sea. He got a severe heart attack, actually two heart attacks, and this was almost his death. So then Krishna came to him in a dream, and he saw a vision in the dream that Krishna had a rowing boat, and all many incarnations of Krishna were there, and great personalities were there, and they were rowing the boat, and Krishna told him, don't worry, everything will be alright, we carry you safely to your destiny, New York City, the most sinful town in the world. And yes, actually before Prabhupada went on, he had a whole lifetime in preparation. He worked very hard in India. He had already the one time we never thought that Prabhupada was thinking about this country, Belgium, about us here, you know, in the Benelux. But he did actually already. At the time when he published Back to Godhead magazine, 1944, later he tried to distribute them. He approached many industrials, wealthy people, actually in Delhi when he was in Vrindavan. That was a few years before he came, actually. Then he was still trying to distribute the... and then he needed rich people, wealthy people, to sponsor that Back to Godhead magazine, to distribute it to the West. And he said, I want 10,000 copies for Canada, and I want some for Russia, and I want some, like a few thousand for Germany. And he mentioned names of countries. And he wrote a whole form, application form, that people could sponsor and give a donation so that he could bring these Back to Godhead magazine that he published. He actually started that magazine when we weren't born yet, you know, during the Second World War, you know. And but he wanted, and he said, and Belgium also, 10,000 copies. Please give a donation for Belgium. He said, I yesterday read it. And so, can you imagine, you know, when we were not even born, Prabhupada wanted us already to come back to Godhead. He was thinking about us here. You know, yes. And so Srila Prabhupada went to stay in the Radha Damodar, and there he wrote three, I think, cantos, or was it three or two, cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, an easy journey to other planets, and he prepared himself. And there are some confidential, trustworthy resources. There has been one diary written by Mataji. I forgot her name, I forgot the title of the book. Some time ago I read it. And she interviewed many, many, I think she passed away by now. She interviewed.
Mula
Prakriti, that was her name, that's right. So, there was one boy, 20 years old, and he was a bridge bossy, and he was very much attracted to Srila Prabhupada, and he used to visit sometimes, just like that, you know. He would just go, and Prabhupada said, oh, come here, give him some prasad, and then the boy. But he saw one time that Prabhupada had tears in his eye, and then somehow or other Prabhupada revealed to him that, yes, last night, my Guru Maharaj came to me and gave me instructions how to publish these books, how to write these books. And later on the boy came again and he again asked some confidentially, Prabhupada, what had you experienced? And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, they were all there. Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, and they all gave me good advice how to write my books. So, and others were witness that Prabhupada was crying in the middle of the night, crying out, please Krishna help me, I have to please my spiritual master, please, I have to be merciful and write these books and to the fallen souls, and like that. So there are some very confidential information about Srila Prabhupada. So Srila Prabhupada worked very hard. In India also he tried, he formed the League of Devotees, but somehow or other Jai Sri Srila Gopinath somehow or other didn't work out so much. And also his god brothers and the Gaudiya Mad, Prabhupada always tried to gather them, to cooperate, to work together. Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had a really big dream about spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. But somehow or other they got stuck in India somewhere, and it didn't become a Krishna conscious explosion like it meant to be. So then Srila Prabhupada, he approached his governors, please help me. And so he went to the West. He got on that ship. This wonderful lady, I met her in Calcutta, Mrs. Sumati Morarji. When I was in India in 1983, I only went once to India. We were in Calcutta. Then Indrajumna Maharaj, he was leading our group of about 50 devotees. We went crisscross in India. We went to so many wonderful places. And so then we were in Calcutta, and some or other they formed Miss Sumati Morarji, if we could meet her. And we met her. She spoke about how she met Prabhupada, and I really loved it, and wonderful. And so she is very much blessed because she gave Prabhupada a free passage to enable him to come and save us all. You know. So she's very wonderful. All glories to Sumati Morarji. So then Prabhupada got his free ticket and got on the boat. And of course, in 19, I can mention a few more dates here. 1947, he received the title Bhaktivedanta, and at the age of 54, he took Vanaprastha in 1950. In 1959, he took sannyas. He started translating Srimad Bhagavatam, 3 volumes he published. 1965, his departure was there. In 1966, he established ISKCON. Okay, the rest I read later then. Okay, the journey took 35 days, and when Srila Prabhupada arrived in September 13th, and then there were some prayers. So I would like to read these prayers. I think it's very nice to do that, to write the prayers, to read the prayers. I don't quote the Bengali, just the English. I emphatically say to you, O brothers, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is very clear, dear to Lord Gauranga, the son of Mother Sachi, is unparalleled in his service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. He is that great saintly spiritual master who bestows intense devotion to Krishna at different places throughout the world. This prayer is entitled, I forgot to mention that, Prayer to the Lotus Feet of Krishna. By his strong desire, the holy name of Lord Gauranga will spread throughout all the countries of the Western world and all the cities, towns and villages on the earth. From all the oceans, seas, rivers and streams, everyone will chant the holy name of Krishna. As the vast mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conquers all directions, a flood of transcendental ecstasy will certainly cover the land. When all the sinful, miserable living entities become happy, the Vaishnava's desire is then fulfilled. Although my Guru Maharaj ordered me to accomplish this mission, I am not worthy or fit to do it. I am very fallen and insignificant. Therefore, O Lord, now I am begging for your mercy so that I may become worthy, for you are the wisest and most experienced of all. If you bestow your power by serving the spiritual master, one attains the absolute truth. One's life becomes successful. If that service is obtained, then one becomes happy and gets your association due to good fortune. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires, one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant Narada Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? This is Prahlad Maharaj praying to Lord Nrisimhadev and the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 7th canto. O Lord Krishna, you are my eternal companion. Forgetting you, I have suffered the kicks of Maya birth after birth. If today the chance to meet you occurs again, then I will surely be able to rejoin you. O dear friend, in your company I will experience great joy once again. In the early morning I will wander about the covered pastures and fields, running and frolicking in the many forests of Braj. I will roll on the ground in spiritual ecstasy. Oh, when will that day be mine? Today that remembrance of yours came to me in a very nice way, because I have a great longing. I call to you. I am your eternal servant, and therefore I desire your association so much. O Lord Krishna, except for you, there is no other means of success. This, what comes next, is called Markina Bhagavad Dharma, and I still will recite them also. We heard them often, but I would like to do that. When he is in the Boston Harbor already, he arrived in America, on the boat, he wrote this poem. My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion, absorbed in material life. They think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudev. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. But I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible, because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service, O Lord? I am simply praying for your mercy, so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have become under the control of the illusory energy by your will, and therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation, and if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, then he will be able to understand your message. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam, then lots of Sanskrit, about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 verses. To save time, I just read the translation. Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtues when properly heard and chanted. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness and he becomes completely happy. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced, and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is determined when one sees the self as master. He will become liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion, and thus all inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction, so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure, as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I'm sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel engladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I'm just like a puppet in your hands, so if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance, O Lord, make me dance. dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta. And now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Signed, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, aboard the ship Jaladuta Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, USA, dated 18th of September 1965. Yes, the followers of Srila Prabhupada are very blessed, and it worked. He had 10,000 initiated disciples, I read. He opened 108 temples. He listed, we have been, the dream of book distribution has been fulfilled until so far we distributed 460 million copies, if I am right, if that number is right. 460 million. And it's registered in the Guinness Book of Records. It's a record. Oh, we can be proud. We also took part in that. By Krishna's mercy, we could do it. Please. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur is very pleased, because he used to say, even if a disciple would come back from book distribution, from preaching, and he would have been distributed only one small book, then he said, wonderful, wonderful. So, Neha Bikramana Shusti Pratyavayana Vidyate Svapamapiyasya Dharaya. In this endeavor, there is no loss nor diminution. And the smallest endeavor on this path can save one from the greatest type of fear. That's Bhagavad Gita, Sri Krishna, encouraging us. Yes. Srila Prabhupada did much more. He made us do much more to just this little endeavor. Altogether, a lot has been done. I just round up the class with a few things. Srila Prabhupada, he traveled the world 14 times in 12 years. In 1968, he established the first farm, self-sufficient farm community, New Vrindavan. In 1972, he established the first Vedic model school in Dallas, Texas. In 1972, he established the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, which is still now the largest book trust in the world in the field of philosophical and cultural literatures from the Vedic culture. Srila Prabhupada also, he founded, I don't know the year, the Bhaktivedanta Institute. You know, this is wonderful, Bhaktivedanta Institute, because intellectuals, they will change the world. Always it has been like that. And this is an organization for scientists and scholars who are monotheistic, pure Vaishnavas, also very advanced intellectuals, scientists. They definitely, there will be impact in the world. Definitely, that's a great, great milestone in history, that institution is founded by Prabhupada. And I'm sure Prabhupada also, when he traveled the world 14 times in 12 years, he gave classes practically every day. He enlightened everyone with classes and discussions. And he wrote 7,000 letters. He was a correspondent. How can one person do so much in such a small period of time? So it is clear that it is a great miracle. It is the magic of the pure devotee who is empowered by Krishna, Shakti Vesh. So, I have to stop now, it's getting too late. Thank you very much for your attentive listening. I hope I could inspire you a little bit today. Yes, the last thing I like to say is, we can be very proud that we are part of this. We can be very grateful. course we should be very, 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 very humble. We always should think, I am made out of the mercy of Guru and Krishna. That's what we always should remember, that everything is Guru and Krishna's mercy. And we should be very, very grateful for that. And we should also get the same mood of Srila Prabhupada, become compassionate and preach and give the wonderful pleasure that we experience in Krishna consciousness to share that and give it to others. Then Srila Prabhupada will be pleased. That's the only way we can pay him back. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I don't think we have time for questions. The management will be upset with me. So if you have questions and you meet me during the day, then I will be glad to answer them. And if you have any remarks or comments, you can also tell me that during the day. Then I will not be embarrassed if I made some mistake. Okay, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.